Hallelujah. I want us to use 1 or 2 minutes to pray. Now I want us to look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. So that we can pray individually. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. The book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 45.
Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures.
Amen. I want us to pray individually. The Lord, open my mind, open my understanding, that I may understand the scriptures. Because if the Lord himself did not open our minds, did not open our understanding, we may not understand the scripture. Amen. So let's pray together and talk to the Lord within 1 or 2 minutes. Say, Lord, open my mind to understand the scriptures. Let's pray.
Lord.
Just talk to the Lord. Talk to him. Say, Lord, open my mind, Lord. I humble myself. I really truly want to believe and obey. But if you do not open my mind, oh Lord, I will not be able to understand. Lord, open my mind. Need you, Lord, to open my mind, oh God. It is when you open the minds of Lydia that she was able to understand and receive the gospel. Lord, open my mind, oh God, to understand, oh God, the scriptures. Because the scriptures were written to testify that Jesus is the Christ. Lord, help me. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus gave a parable that there was a man who has two sons. He told them that go to the farm and work. The first son says, yes, I will go, daddy. But he did not go. Then the second one said, daddy, I won't go. But later he went. So now Jesus said, among the two sons, who truly obeyed? Is it the one that you always say yes, 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 yes to it? So we may be saying yes through our mouth. Oh yes, this is powerful. Oh yes, this is great message. Oh yes, this gospel is good. But who are the one that truly obey? Is the one who go after this conference to obey. To change the structure of their ministry. To change their message, that they begin to talk about him alone, not themselves. That is the one who obeyed. And the issue of obedience is so critical that even though I may have so many questions in my heart that is confusing me, but because now the light of the revelations of the gospel of Christ has come to me, I will go back to him. Open my mind. Open my mind. To understand. And when I begin to do that, the Holy Spirit will help me to find the answers through the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
We'll be looking at it from the few days now, looking at these 27 old lectures, talking about the gospel of the Bible. Personally, I know that many of us cannot grasp it at a time. But what is more important is for you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you are willing to obey. And every day you have desire to know him more. Every day there must be that desire that I really want to deepen myself in this gospel. I want to go deeper in the gospel. Not to hold on to what I used to believe. Not to hold on to what I've learned in Bible college. Not to hold on to what my bishop says, but what the Bible says. And that is why we've been here for days that you've not seen anyone talking about themselves or talking about Pastor Cho. You've not heard from anyone that say Pastor Cho says. Pastor Cho says. No, the Bible says. Because Pastor Cho is not the foundation for the gospel. Is the scriptures, is graphic. So when we truly believe that Jesus is the Christ and have a continual desire to know him more, to go deeper, to be obedient, to live the life of Christ, to die daily, not to die 2 months ago, but to die daily. Every day I die. Why? Because I'm still carrying my cross and I'm still following him. And we know cross leads to death. And your cross is not because your church is not growing. That is your cross. That is not it. Because your husband is not loving. You say, well, it has become my cross, I'm carrying now. That is not your cross. That is not the cross that the Bible is talking about. It's a continual obedience to this faith of believing that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll be able to see it, and it will be so simple for us to understand how the Bible defines what the gospel is, that Jesus is the Christ. And now, let's look at it. When the angel told Mary and Joseph the name to call Christ when he will be born, what was the name?
Jesus.
Did they say they should call him Christ?
No.
They should call him what?
Jesus.
So now, who is Jesus?
Savior.
He's the Christ. When you use the word Savior, you're still not getting it.
Yes.
Right? He promised that Messiah will come. Right? Christ will come. And he said when he come, call his name Jesus, because he will save us from what? From our sins. The sin that separates us from God. And now, this is Jesus asking them, who do you say I am? Who am I? They know his name, that is Jesus. So they can even say, but you are Jesus. We need to know him. That he is the Messiah, the sent one, the anointed one. And when we know him as the anointed one, then we believe that, then we have eternal life. So Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
It's not a new revelation. It's not a new religion. It's not a new movement. It's not. It has been hidden before the world began, but was revealed through the writing of the prophet in the Holy Scriptures. So Jesus is the final revelations of God. He's there. He's there in the scripture. Only that our eyes were not open to it. Our eyes were not open what? To it. But when our eyes open to it by the Holy Spirit, our understanding is opened. Then we see, wow. So this is the gospel. So it has been there. It's not new. I was a Muslim, born into a Muslim family. So I understand this by revelation. Revelation is that the Holy Spirit opened my mind to see it. It's already there. It's not new. It's already there. And this revelation that Jesus is the Christ from God's side is final. It's what?
Final.
It's final. But from our side, it's progressive.
Amen.
It's what? It's progressive. You can't know it one time. You can't know him in these 2 days and say, yes, now I've known him. No, there must be a continual flowing of desire, a fire burning desire in your heart to
Amen.
Go deeper.
Amen.
Right. And this is what we believe is the mandate that God has given us that we are running with. We are running with this message because we believe this message and because we are obedient to this message.
Amen.
We believe it. We are living it because we are obedient to it. So that when people see my life, Thomas, they can see that truly I resemble Christ.
Yes.
I may have 20,000 members in my church. I may have a big investment, big churches in the whole Uganda. But if my life does not resemble Christ, I am not a Christian. Before you become a pastor, before you become an apostle, before you become a bishop, you must be a Christian first.
Hallelujah.
You must be born of God first. Pastoral title, bishop title is not what qualify you to be born of God.
Sure.
Whosoever that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whosoever. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist are gifts from God to the body of Christ. To do what? To bring the body of Christ all to the fullness of Christ. So that you won't be the only one preaching from January to December in your church. You are still preaching to the same people. Receive it, receive it. Then you are not bringing them to that fullness of what? Of Christ. When your member reach the fullness of Christ, you will only cross your leg and see them sharing this gospel. Amen. Filling the whole place with the gospel that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. You don't hammer on them to live a holy life. They will live a holy life. Why? Because they believe and they obey. So I want us to submit our own ego, our pride, our religious pride, our little educational pride, our little biblical knowledge pride. Let's submit it and say, Lord, open my mind. I do not know. If it not open my mind, I can't know and I can't believe and I can't be obedient. Do not run to go and save your region when the gospel is not clear to you.
Yes.
Don't run.
Yes.
Because you will cause more harm than good. Please don't run. I rather prefer to stay and allow the color of the gospel to be clear to me. For this gospel to become my gospel.
Come on.
Then I can run. I can run because the color of it is clear to me.
Amen.
So nobody can come from anywhere to deceive me. Amen. So Jesus said, in the last day, do not be what? Deceived. Do not be deceived. Because many people will come in the name that they are Christ. So don't be deceived. You must have discernment of the Spirit.
Yes.
When the color and the clarity of the gospel is not clear to you, you will be deceived. Hello? So that we need to understand it correctly. So that we can help people correctly. Because a blind man leading a blind man, oh, this is their own doctrine. This is their own belief. This is not church dogma. It's not church doctrine. This is the word of God. It's the Bible. You believe it or you reject it. It's okay. It's between you and God. So Paul said, your blood is no more on my head because I have shared with you the truth of God. If we have been here for all this day and we begin to give the prophetic messages, many of you, Pastor, would have even begin bring offering.
I know.
Yes, because you want your church to grow. You want breakthrough. And if you begin to give you the prophetic messages, then you begin to comply. Shale Ambra Asuke Bikataya. There is a pastor coming from Soroti. Mali Ekritosiaba. I see that in 2 months' time, Mali Ekritosiaba, you will bring offerings. But this gospel is much greater is more superior than that. And we have not been echoing the healing, miracles, prophecies, everything. We are not saying they are bad. We are not saying they are not biblical. But we are saying it has a purpose. Why God allow miracles and healings is to testify that Jesus is the Christ. It's not a ministry. Healing is not what? It's not a ministry. That we measure it, that this is my ministry, it's healing ministry. No. It has a purpose. Why God allow it? So now we'll be seeing all through that the man has a problem, which was Satan, sin, and separation from God. And this problem, man cannot solve it. Man has been separated, like fish separating from the water. Now, when the fish, if you take fish out of water, and you build a mansion, you put many furnitures inside, with good air conditions, with televisions inside, with internet, Wi-Fi connections, and you put money in the account, and you give the ATM to the fish so that it can do shopping. And you employ a good chef, a good cook, so that it can cook breakfast, lunch, dinner to feed the fish. And also, you bought a new nice Jeep full of air condition with a professional driver so that it can drive the fish anywhere the fish want to go, anywhere you want to travel to. You and I know those things are not the problem of the fish. Yes. That even though you are feeding the fish, but the fish will still die. Yes. What is the problem of the fish? Water. Is to go back to the water. Yes. That is us also. We think all those things are our problem. Yes. Those things are not our problem. Our problem is we have been separated from the source of living. Yes. From the living water of life. We have been separated from God. That is our problem. Yes. Until we go back, even though we have all those things, we will still die. Yes. So man can't solve this problem, and that's why God promised that only Messiah will come. And when Messiah comes, he will solve the problem of Satan, he will solve the problem of sin and separation from God. And God raised prophet throughout the Old Testament to write, to prophesy about the coming of Messiah. So that we will not be deceived. When Messiah comes, we can recognize that this is Messiah. Why? Because Messiah must fulfill all the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. Amen. And we see that Jesus is the one who fulfilled this messianic covenant. So he is the Christ. So through the cross and resurrection, he solved the problem of Satan. He solved the problem of sin that separated man from God. He opened a new and a living way for us to meet God. And no one has seen God before. No one ever seen God except Christ, who is with God. Amen. So he's the one that reveals the Father for us.
Yes.
So he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So if I believe in Christ, I believe in the Father. Amen. And the Father's will is for us to see his Son and believe. That is the Father's will. Amen. And he gave the Holy Spirit to us, and the Holy Spirit does not speak about himself. He only testified that Jesus is the Christ. He guide us into the truth. He guide us into all truth so that we will not be deceived. And when we are with God, what is the problem again? What is the problem again when we are with God? Does that mean I will not have challenges in life? Yes, I will do. But because I know I'm with my Father, and my Father owns everything, and my Father is all powerful, is all knowing, I fear no foe. So we'll be looking at the life of believer that is a life of a complete obedience to what? To the faith that Jesus is the Christ. A complete obedience. So if I'm still afraid of Satan every day of my life, then I still don't understand the greatness of this gospel. I still don't believe that he has settled the problem of Satan through the cross and resurrections. And we see who is a Christian. And we see how we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So that through bearing of the fruit of the Spirit, it can testify that truly this one belongs to Christ. And now we want to look at it, the second coming of the Lord. The second coming of the Lord. The people that prophesy that Messiah will come, they prophesy he will come, but they die. And when Messiah comes, the people that see Messiah, that fulfill it, they also shouting that he is coming back again, right? Now, let me put it differently. The people that prophesy that Messiah will come, they prophesy, but they die. They prophesy because they believe. Now, when Messiah comes, the people that see Messiah, they testify that this is Messiah. He has come. He has come. He has come. Messiah has come. This is Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. They were saying because they believe. And they wrote about everything that he will come back again. So the generation that's supposed to say and proclaim that he's coming back, right?
Maranatha.
We are keeping quiet.
Maranatha.
We are not talking about it. It's there in the Bible that he will come, and we are the one to proclaim that he's coming back again. But we do what? We keep quiet. We don't talk about it. Do you know why? Because we don't believe. The Lord will surely return. And the coming of the Lord is a promise that he will come again. John chapter 14 verse 1 to 3. That do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going to there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will come back to do what? To take you. So it's a promise. He will surely return. If I go and prepare, and he has gone, he said, I will come back and take. And that is why I need to believe. I am expecting to see my Lord coming to take me. So the coming of the Lord is a promise by Jesus himself. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28. That when he appeared first time, he appeared to take away our sins.
Yes.
He has appeared, he took it already through the cross and resurrection. And he will come again second time, not to take away sin. Not to do what? Not to take away sin. He has finished it once, eternally and perfect. But he will come to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Waiting for him.
Amen.
Are we waiting for him?
Yes.
Is our life, is our faith waiting for him? So the second coming of the Lord is mentioned more than 300 times in the New Testament. Just like Old Testament prophesied that Messiah will come, the New Testament also is prophesying about his second coming, that he will come. He will surely come. People do not believe when God was raising prophets that Messiah will come, but Messiah came. Because God is Jehovah. Jehovah, a covenant keeping God. A God that made a promise and keep promise. Now let's look at the characteristics of the second coming of the Lord. So that the characteristics of the coming of the Lord can alert us, can make us to be awake unto his second coming. So the angels proclaim it. Angels testify that the same way he was taken up, he will return the same way.
Yes.
So the angel testified. We see that in Acts chapter 1 verse 11. That the same way he's taken from you into heaven, will he come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven? It means when he comes, we shall see him. Luke 21 verse 27. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. So Jesus himself testified that he will return the second time. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 prophesied about it, about his second coming. That I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for his firstborn son. So he's coming back again, and every eyes will see. Matthew 24, 36 says, do not be deceived by his second coming. When he will come, we do not know. The hour, the day, we do not know. So no one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. The angels do not know. We know some years back, there are many prophecies that have been made that the whole world will end associated to a particular date. And many people were in fear that, oh, the end will come. If any prophet arrives in Uganda and tell you that in the year 2030, the end will come, is false. It's false. If they tell you that the whole world will end in 2050, it's a false. Nobody knows the hour. Nobody knows the day. Nobody knows the year that it will come. Only the Father.
Yeah. Yes.
Even though we do not know, but it gave us some hint how to live and conduct our life, and also give us a clue to his second coming. Matthew 24, 42 said, therefore, keep watch. Keep watch. Keep watch. Be alert. Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So be awake. Be awake unto righteousness. Let your life be ready. Have a continual fire burning desire to see your Lord coming. Be alert. Why? He said, you must be ready. Be ready. Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. He will come like a thief in the night. If you have some property, and an armed robber announced to you that they will come to your house, they tell you the day, they tell you the time they will come. So will you fold your hand for them to come?
No.
No. You want to guide your property. You want to go to police. If you have money, you want to even employ army to surround, to protect your territory, to protect your life. Because you already know the day and the time, the hour. He says you do not know. So armed robber will also not tell you. It's when you do not even know that they will come. They will just bounce on you and take away. He says, the Son of Man will come like a thief in the night. He is not a thief, but he's telling us, always be what? Be watchful. Be ready. Don't throw away your faith of believing that Jesus is the Christ. Don't compromise your faith because of money. Don't compromise your faith because you want your ministry to be alive. Don't compromise your faith because of the material things. Don't compromise your faith because of a selfish desire. Amen. Don't compromise this faith. Why? Because it will come when you do not expect. Amen. Sorry. Even though we don't know hour and day, but he gave us a clue. The clue to his second coming. Matthew chapter 24 verse 14. Yeah. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The gospel of the kingdom. When this gospel, when Jesus is the Christ, is proclaimed. Remember, it's not just going to the whole world and be saying, Jesus is the Christ! Jesus is the Christ! Jesus is the Christ! That's not what it means. You have seen throughout this seminar, throughout the whole 27 lectures, what it meant when we say Jesus is the Christ. We've seen it now all through. So you are not just talking about Jesus is the Christ without letting people understand what it means. That is what we are saying. You teach about Satan, sin, separation from God. You talk about the creations of man. You talk about the man being a blessed being. You talk about the problem of man. You talk about the promise of Messiah. You talk about everything to reveal that Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. So when all this is preached to all nations, then the end will come. And I see my Lord coming in my days. Amen. I want to see my Lord coming in my days. Amen. Now, the second coming of the Lord is the last covenant he has given us. It's a covenant. You know, covenant is a promise. So promise is a covenant. So far, the second coming is a promise that he will come and take us. It's a covenant. And that's the last covenant he has given us. And every problem is a consequence of losing hold of the covenant. Hello? Genesis, we see through Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, that he gave a promise to Adam, right? He gave them a covenant. This tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, do not eat. The day you eat, you will surely die. And that was the word he gave them. So as long as they see the tree, it's a symbol of a remembrance of God's word. So they need to hold on to that word. You lambano that word. You hold on unto it unto the end. But the problem came because man lost hold of that word of God. Man through ignorance and unbelief, let go of that word. They despise the word. The problem come. So every problem is a consequence of what? Of losing hold of the covenant. The coming of the Lord second time is also a covenant that we need to believe. We need to hold on unto it, unto the end. If you lose all of that, then you also have a problem of separation from him. And we could see how they disobeyed through Genesis 3, 2 to 3. Now, 1 Timothy verse 1 to 13. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. Hallelujah. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and what? Unbelief. Ignorance and unbelief. I know there might be one or two people here that you still don't believe. Yeah, you still don't believe. You are still struggling within yourself. That I think this is just their thing. I will go back and either I had what I think is good. I think in all, I can filter it. I think this aspect is good. I can add it to my ministry. This aspect I don't believe. I think this one is a Pastor Show's theology. This one is okay, so I can run with this one. Ignorance and what? Unbelief. The second coming of the Lord is the last covenant. And as a last covenant, we must clearly understand it. Hello?
Yes.
As a covenant, we must what? Clearly understand it. That the coming of the Lord, second time, is a covenant. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord for a short time. Is that it?
No.
We'll be with the Lord for 2 months.
No.
We'll be with the Lord for 3.5 years.
No.
We'll be with the Lord for what?
Forever.
That is the purpose of God. So we need to understand this covenant is the last covenant. And as a covenant, not only that we need to understand it, we must truly believe it. We must what? Truly believe it. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 12. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, That day will bring about destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. That day is not a day of joy alone. The coming of the Lord is not a day of what? Of joy alone. It's a day of joy to those that believe.
Amen.
But to those that do not believe, it's not a day of joy. So we must truly believe that I believe that Messiah has come. And if this Jesus is the Christ that has come, and he has solved my problems, I believe he's gone to heaven and he's coming back again. And how do I show that I truly believe? Is when I engage in word evangelization. Not when I continue to stay only in my church, in my church. So not only that we need to understand it and believe it as the last covenant, we must completely obey. There's a difference between belief and what?
Obey.
I believe, but I still want to live my own life. Oh, pastor, I believe, but I still want to enjoy. I still need to get married. I still need to build my own house. I still need to ride in my own. I need to achieve my vision first. When you believe and you obey, your vision is no more your vision. You only live to fulfill the vision of God for your life. Not your own vision. So we must completely obey. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace.
Amen.
To testify. So Jesus the Christ, who will fulfill everything according to the covenant. Now let's look at what he says. Remember, the second coming of the Lord is a promise that he will surely return. And now we see the characteristics of his second coming. That the angel testified to it. Himself testified to it that the same way he was taken up into heaven, he will return the same way. And every eyes will see. He will see him in glory. And he is appearing not to take away our sin. He has dealt with it. He has solved the problem of sin. But he's coming for the salvation for those that obey him. And we do not know the hour. We don't know when. Only the Father. But he gave us a clue. How to live our life and how to know when the end will come. Is to keep watch. To prepare. To be ready. Like a five wise virgin.
Yes.
And also when the gospel of this kingdom is preached to all nations.
Yes.
The end will come.
Right.
And now we see that this. That every problem is a consequence of what? Of losing hold of the covenant. That the second coming of the Lord is the last covenant. So when you understand it, when you believe it, when you completely obey it, then you can say that your faith is correct, is true. So let's see what Jesus himself said about his coming. Revelation 22 verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. He is coming again. Revelation 22 verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And Revelation 22 verse 20. He who testified to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. He said it. I am coming soon. I am coming soon. Amen.
Amen.
And John, who has been living his life, because he understood what the gospel, the greatness of the gospel, that is bigger than the material things in the world. Nothing can compare to this precious of this gospel. He was persecuted. He was about to be killed. He was put in an old body. But he did not die. He found himself in the island of Patmos. And he received the revelation to write the book of Revelation. He had a encounter with him. And he heard him saying, I will come quickly. I will come soon. And he cried out, Maranatha, come, my Lord. I want to see you in my days. This faith must rise in us. This faith of his last covenant must rise up in us. We must believe it, understand it, believe it, obey it,
and go and share Uganda with this Maranatha faith. But you can't preach it when you don't understand it, when you don't believe it. You still want money. You still want to be rich. You want to be a multimillionaire pastor. You want to be a multi-billionaire bishop. Then you can't preach it. If God allows you to become a multimillionaire, He allows it for a purpose. Amen. That you might use it for what? World evangelization.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It's not my desire to be a multimillionaire. It's not my desire to be famous all over the world. No, it's my desire to know Him more.
Amen.
That's only my desire. And let that become our desire.
Amen.
When that faith is in us, that is when we can save Uganda. But if you are still rambling with the elementary issue, or say, is it somebody's doctrine? Is it? Then you are still at the elementary level. You still battling, Pastor, I think this thing is not in the Bible. It's not. I think it's Pastor Joe that just tried to colonize us. Then you are still at the elementary level. Awake unto righteousness. This is the word of God.
Amen.
It's coming back again.
Amen.
And it will give to everyone according to what you have done.
Yes, sir.
According to what you have done. If you want to be a miracle chaser, you can't save Uganda. If you want to follow the prophetic ministry of prophesying to people and see many things, you can't save Uganda.
Yes,
the only thing that can save Uganda is the gospel that Jesus is the Son of God and is coming back again. So God is looking for man and woman who will truly understand and see the greatness of this gospel and ready to say all what they have to get this gospel, to hold on to it without compromising. Those are the people that God will raise in Uganda.
I'm here.
So I challenge you. We are not looking for the crowd. We are looking for the Lydia. The Aquila and Priscilla among you so that we can work with you. God bless you.